following audio drama is rated PG for parental guidance. You should experience lots of explosions with no body parts. Parents should be ready to cover their ears.
They don't appear to be
Now, it's time for the Broken Sea Audio Production OTR Swag Cast.
Welcome back to Lothar's Laboratory. The League of Mad Scientists thought we had a bit of a problem. It seems that the Armitage Foundation somehow got wind of some of our plans, and we were afraid we'd have to shut down our operation before putting everything into motion. But Herbert West's friend Dr. Tillinghast, he installed some special tuning forks in their parlor, and, as I speak, astral parasites are dining well on a meal of pompous academics. Enjoy the last installment of the Swagcast presentation of Frankenstein. And don't bother coming back to the laboratory after this. We're going underground. At least until Phase 2 is complete.
Present George Edwards in Frankenstein. Aboard the good ship Voyager, Baron Frankenstein is confined to his cabin, recovering from the effects of hardship and exposure. During his convalescence, he tells the story of his tragic experiences to Captain Walton, the master of the vessel.
Well, the weather seems to be improving a little, Baron Frankenstein. For a wonder, it's not snowing.
Perhaps Dufour is going to set in soon. Then you will have to take your vessel back to England, and you will leave me here.
We shall certainly not leave you here.
Oh, but you must. I cannot return to civilization until I am sure that the monster of my creation is dead.
Let me plead with you, Baron Frankenstein. You were in the last stages of exhaustion when you came aboard this vessel. We have nursed you back to health and strength. Come back to England with us. Forget about the monster. I feel sure that he has perished out there in the blizzard.
Oh, if only I could feel sure.
Tell me some more of your story. What happened after you had destroyed the companion you were making for the monster?
Did I not tell you that the monster returned and threatened me? He swore that he would see me again on the day that I returned to my wife?
Yes, I remember that. And did you leave the island then?
I arranged with my friend Ernst Claval that we should leave the island a few days later. And when the supply vessel called, some men were sent ashore to carry our effects to the ship. This vessel was under the command of a dour Scottish captain called MacDougall. He came ashore and spoke with Ernst Claval and myself.
We can put you ashore at Southampton. That is as far as we're going this trip.
Oh, that will do nicely. Are you agreeable to Dr. Straval?
Oh, we must be agreeable. No other boat will call here for a month.
Well, we must go on this one. Tell me, Captain MacDougall, is your vessel watched closely?
What do you mean by that, Baron Frankenstein?
Has anyone else tried to get aboard the vessel?
But certainly not. The vessel is moored about 100 yards from the shore, and only one boat came ashore. No one would get into that boat but your two passengers.
Oh, I am glad to hear that.
I did not know that there was anyone else on the island.
There is one other person on the island, but he must not leave here.
Who is he?
That matters not. But he is an enemy of mine. Is everything ready, Ernst?
Oh, my briefcase has been left in the cottage. I will only detain you for a moment, Captain. I will go and get it myself.
Very well, Herr Clival, and we will wait for you.
Do not be too long, Ernst. I want to get off this island as soon as possible.
Oh, I will only be a few minutes.
Now, Captain MacDougall, I would like you to give your crew instructions to see that no one, bar Herr Clival and myself, attempts to board this vessel. It is imperative that the monster should remain here. Perhaps he will die of starvation.
What monster is this of which you speak, Baron Frankenstein?
A huge, deformed creature. A murderer.
A murderer? On this island?
Do not worry your head, Captain. As long as that creature is not allowed to board your vessel, as long as we keep a watchful eye, there is nothing to fear. I am hopeful that I will never see or hear of him again.
What does it mean?
Call some of your men. Come quickly. Follow me.
Tell me more, Baron Frankenstein. Had Ernst Clerval really been attacked?
Together with Captain MacDougall, we hurried to the cottage. I flung open the door and dashed in. And then a dreadful sight met my eyes. On the floor in the far corner lay the huddled body of Ernst Clerval. I dashed over to him and said, "This is the monster's work. Oh, Ernst, my friend, I should have known. I should have known."
Let me see the man.
Look at him, Captain MacDougall. He is dead. And look on those cruel bruises. Those marks on his throat. This is the monster's work. He has carried out his promise. Those that I love are to be slain. This is my punishment.
But who is this frightful creature? Let me order my men to search for him. The island is small. We must find them.
Yes, we must find him. Arm your men with firearms. Tell him to shoot on sight.
But what does the creature look like?
A cruel, evil monster. Much bigger than an ordinary man. With long, yellow fangs that show between his lips. A monster of hideous cruelty. Oh, he must be found and slain.
But who is he? What is his name?
He has no name. I created him.
You created him? You created this monster, Baron Frankenstein?
This is the truth. Go, man. Tell your men to search for this monster. Tell them to slay him. Leave me here with my friend Ernst.
Will you be safe here?
I will be safe, although I pray for death. Go, Captain. I beg that you strive to find the monster and slay him.
I will gather my men at once. We'll search the island thoroughly. You had better return to the vessel as soon as possible, Baron Frankenstein. I will see you there.
Oh, Ernst, my friend, the truest friend that man ever had. Had I but heeded your advice, you would have been alive today. But I sinned. I usurped the rights of God, and for that sin, I am paying dearly. Now I have lost my friend. I know that my wife is in danger. Oh, almighty Father in heaven, I know that I have sinned. I beg for thy forgiveness. I ask that I may live to avenge those who have died because of my crime. Hear thou my prayer, my Father.
Well, Baron Frankenstein, was the monster found on the island?
Captain MacDougall and his men searched the island thoroughly, but there was no trace of the monster. He had not even left a footprint. Where he was hiding, I do not know, because later on I joined in the search, and I could not find him. At last, heartbroken and weary, I left the island, taking with me the body of my beloved friend, Ernst Clerval. The vessel set sail, and in due time I landed at Southampton. Then I made arrangements to go home. And at last I arrived in Geneva once again. On arriving there, I found my wife eagerly awaiting me. She greeted me happily,
saying, "Victor, oh, my heart is almost bursting with joy to see you again after all these months. Oh, my darling.
Oh, Elizabeth, I am so happy to feel my arms about you once again.
Let me look at you. Have you fully recovered from your illness? Have you forgotten the nightmares and the horrors of the past?
I am well, Elizabeth.
That is not the truth, Bishop. You look drawn and very pale.
I have had a long and tiring voyage, but I will be better soon.
But what ails you? And where is Ernst? Did he not come with you?
Ernst is not returning.
Not returning?
I left him in England. He sent you with his love.
That is strange. I thought he would come back with you.
Oh, do not question me now, Elizabeth. I am tired. But tell me of yourself. Have you been happy here?
Oh, how could I be happy while you were away from me? But I looked forward to the day when you would return.
Have you seen anything of the monster?
Not a sign. I am living in hopes that he has perished, that we will never hear from him again.
Have there been any reports that he has been around here in the last few days?
How did you think that? Have you seen anything of him during your travels?
I saw him once.
He followed you?
Oh, do not be worried, Elizabeth.
I had so hoped that the horrible creature was dead. Why are you looking so worried, Victor? What has happened?
Well, you must be guided by me, Elizabeth. I beg that you will not leave the house unaccompanied. Stay by my side always. And whatever you do, wherever you go, if you do leave my side, carry this pistol with you.
A pistol? But Victor, what is it that you fear?
What is it that I fear? Don't you know? I fear that the monster may return. I know that he is not dead.
You know that he is not dead?
I told you that I've seen him.
But why should you think that he will attack me?
Oh, please do not question me now, Elizabeth. But do as I say. Promise that you will not be alone for any length of time. And if you hear anything which frightens you, promise on your word of honor that you will call for help at once.
But do you think that that will be necessary?
Oh, it is necessary. And please always carry that pistol with you. Do not hesitate to use it if necessary.
This is most alarming. I wish you would be frank with me, Victor. Tell me why you think the monster will attack me.
He is a blood-crazed inhuman creature. We must be on our guard. We must try to kill him before he does any further damage.
Further damage? Has he committed another murder since you left here?
Oh, can we not talk of something else, Elizabeth? I am so worried, so terribly worried. The mere mention of the monster upsets me.
And I thought that this holiday would help you to recover, and you would come back well and strong. But you seem worse than ever. I have never seen you show such fear.
Well, I cannot help it. Oh, but be of good heart, Elizabeth. While I am here, I shall protect you. And if the monster comes, where he shall die.
Why should you think the monster will come?
Well, he threatened to come on the day that you and I were reunited. But I hope that he is on that lonely island in the Orkneys. I do not think he can be here.
Victor, did you hear that?
Yes, I heard it. The monster's laugh. He has returned. Oh, Elizabeth, I am afraid. Proceed, Baron Frankenstein. Did you see anything of the monster that day? Oh, I am afraid I cannot tell you any more now, Captain. The telling of this story has tired me. Please, go and leave me in peace.
Very well. I will note what you have told me in the journal, and I will return to you when you feel more rest.
How could anyone guess that Daniela was reliving the legend of the Wolf Woman? She is every man's dream of love, until she becomes possessed with an evil that turns her life into a bloody and terrifying nightmare that never ends. Now, at last, you can see a true story so brutal, so horrifying, that it was kept from the public for over a century. The legend of the Wolf Woman. Before your very eyes, the Wolf Woman is born in an act of reincarnation that is as sensual, as violent, as bloody as anything you will ever see on the motion picture screen. The demented passions in The Legend of the Wolf Woman will eat you up. From Dimension Pictures, rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent.
Present George Edwards in Frankenstein. Baron Frankenstein was gradually recovering his health. Under the care of the captain and the surgeon of the ship Voyager, which was icebound in northern waters. Each day Baron Frankenstein told Captain Walton some of his story, and the captain duly noted these facts in his journal.
Perhaps you would care to have another look through my journal, Baron Frankenstein. You may desire to make some further corrections.
If you will leave your journal here, I will go through it, Captain Walton. On looking through the porthole, I notice that the weather is improving.
Yes, it is noticeably warmer, too. I think the thaw will set in at any day. Then at last we can proceed on our journey to England. I trust you will be accompanying us, Baron.
I doubt it. Strange that neither you nor your crew have seen any sign of the monster.
Let us trust that the monster no longer lives.
I must make sure before I return. I think that very soon I will be able to go up on deck. I am feeling so much better.
The surgeon says that within a few days you may be able to go up on deck. Now, would you care to tell me some more of your story?
Well, let me see your journal. I was telling you how I returned home to my wife. I was afraid to tell her of the death of Ernst Clerval, and I was terrified that the monster would keep his promise and appear on the day that I was reunited with Elizabeth. While we were talking, we suddenly heard a ghastly laugh, and I knew that the monster had kept his promise. Elizabeth clung to me in terror, and I said, "Now, Elizabeth, you understand why I must guard you carefully. The monster has returned, and he has designs on your life."
"But I thought that he had promised never to take another human life."
"He did not keep his promise, nor did I keep mine."
"He is outside that door, Victor. What can we do?"
"Well, I will lock the door. Safe in here."
"I am terrified."
"I have kept my promise, Frankenstein. You broke yours to me. It seems that my creator can make a promise and break it. But I do not break promises. Have you sincerely mourned the death of your friend, Ernst Clerval?"
"Ernst Clerval? Is he dead?"
"I will explain later, Elizabeth."
"I am going now, Frankenstein. But I will not be very far away. Not very far away."
"Victor, what can we do?"
"I will arrange for a bodyguard to come to the house. We will make plans to slay that foul monster."
"Tell me about Ernst Clerval."
"Well, lad, I was trying to keep the news from you. Ernst has been killed, murdered by the monster. Oh, Elizabeth, are we to spend the rest of our days in fear and terror? Am I never to cease to suffer because of the crime which I committed?"
"I will carry this pistol, Victor, and we will take every precaution to try and protect ourselves."
"Oh, the monster will not kill me. He desires me to live on and suffer. Oh, but I am afraid for you. Tomorrow, you shall leave here. You will go to England."
"Think you not that the monster would follow me? Or I am safer with you, Victor. We must not be parted again."
"Oh, it is my fault that we are suffering all this misery."
"We have each other. We must all in our power to rid the world of this foul creature.
I will send a message to the burgomaster at once. I will ask him to send his best man here to act as a bodyguard, and together we shall plan to bring about the downfall of the monster.
You must send one of the servants with a message at once.
Oh, Elizabeth, until that monster dies, we are to spend our days in terror and abject misery. Let us pray that we shall escape with our lives.
Well, Baron Frankenstein, did the burgomaster send someone to protect you from the monster?
A man called Fabian was sent to the house. He took up his quarters there, and he acted as our bodyguard. But I assure you, Captain Walton, that my wife and I experience misery, terror, and suspense such as is known to few mortal beings. Every footstep, every sound caused us to start. We were prisoners in our own home. Still, there was no sign of the monster. There came a day when I sent for the man, Fabian. I discussed with him the best plans for finding the vile creature which was endangering our existence. When Fabian came into the room, I said, be seated, Fabian, thank you. Tell me, where is the Baroness?
She has gone to her room to rest. I saw that her door was locked, Baron Frankenstein. Do you think we need an extra bodyguard in the house?
Well, it might be advisable to have another man here. Fortunately, we are all armed. The Baroness never goes anywhere without her pistol. And you and I carry two pistols.
Do you think the monster is somewhere in the ground?
I have had the ground searched each day, and still there is no sign of the monster. I do not know where he can be.
Let us send a message to the burgomaster and ask him to send another man here.
We will do that at once. I feel that we will receive a visit from the monster at any time. And if there is an extra man here, we will have more chance of overpowering and killing the creature. I will give the message to the servant now. This is strange.
What ails you, Baron Frankenstein?
But the door will not open.
Let me see. Why? It is locked from the outside.
Was the key on the outside of the door?
It must have been, but I did not place it there.
Well, who could have locked us in? Surely the monster is not here.
We will have to break our way out of here.
My wife, she is upstairs in her room. We must get out of here at once. That is Elizabeth. Help me to break this door open.
Give me the heavy door.
Out in the rain.
I will break it if you dare to make time. The door is too heavy.
Where are the servants? Why do they not come to help us? Help! Oh, I open this door.
For a moment. I think I can break the panel with the corner of this small table.
Stand clear, Baron. I must get out of here. My wife, I heard a scream and I heard a shot. Hurry, baby.
A moment. Ah. I have broken a panel.
It is not big enough to go through yet.
Break another panel. I am doing the best I can.
Oh, let me go through.
I will follow you.
Oh. Look. There. At the foot of the stairs. The Baroness. Oh. Elizabeth, what has happened? Oh. Look at the marks on her throat. The Baroness. It's dead. Choked to death by the monster. He kept his promise. Oh, look. The pistol lies there by her side. She must have fired it to try to save herself. And we were too late. We were locked down in the library.
I must go for help at once.
Oh, we are helpless. No one can prevail against the proof which I created. He swore to kill my wife. And now he has kept his promise. Oh, Elizabeth.
You are distressed in the telling of this story, Baron Frankenstein. Shall I leave you alone?
I shudder now as I recall the horror of that moment. As the realization came to me that my beloved wife had been murdered, I felt as if I had murdered her myself. But I shall live to avenge her. The monster must die.
What is that?
Footsteps that I know so well. The monster is here on the ship. Are you armed, Captain?
I am, Doc. We meet again, Frankenstein. And I can lock this door behind me.
Why have you come here?
I hoped that you were dead.
You vile, murdering creature. I have no sympathy for you, only hatred and loathing.
Stand where you are, Captain. I hold you firmly. You tremble.
Let me go.
If you call for help, you shall die.
Why should you kill me? I have done you no harm.
You have said that your sympathies are all with Frankenstein. But do you not realize that I also have suffered? Our quarrel is almost over, Frankenstein. I have come to tell you that I will slay no more of your friends unless they seek to slay me. I have but one life to claim now.
Whose life is that?
Yours, Frankenstein. The creature shall kill the creator. The monster shall destroy the man who created him. Mark that well, Frankenstein. Before this ship leaves, you shall die. I only pray that before this ship leaves, I am given the strength to kill you. I will be content to die when you are dead.
Think not to escape me, Frankenstein. Your life and mine are bound together. I go now, but be prepared. The end may not be far distant.
Go after him, Captain. Oh, quick, bid your men shoot him down.
No, no, I cannot go after him, Baron Frankenstein. I do not think that anyone can kill that monster. And he has sworn to kill all who strive to slay him. Oh, you must despise me and think me a coward.
I do not think that. I understand. But go on deck, Captain. Tell your men to keep a close guard. And whatever you do, see that the officers are armed. And carry a firearm yourself. Then return to me and I will continue my story.
You know, have you ever noticed that the food right here at this concession stand at the Skyland Drive-In Theater is so much better than what you're going to bring from home or buy on the way to the drive-in? I want to tell you something. You can come in our concession stand here and get the experience of a lifetime, an atmosphere that's unlike any other you're going to find anywhere else because the food's all part of the fun when you come to the drive-in movie. Come on down. We got lines are short right now, and the restrooms are right around the corner. Got all kind of soft drinks here. Fresh from the fountain, Coca-Cola. We got Fanta orange, grape, strawberry. And don't forget, we got Sprite, too. And we have delicious coffee and hot chocolate for the adults out there. Your favorite candy bars are here. We got Baby Ruth, Zagnut, Zeros, Chicken Dinner, Bit of Honey, Snickers, Milky Way, and all are only 15 cents. The concession stand's open. Come on down and have some fun and get some good food for the family. Let's have some more music for you right now.
Present George Edwards in Frankenstein. Baron Frankenstein was gradually recovering his health, and he was telling his story to his friend Captain Walton on the ship Voyager, which was icebound somewhere near the North Pole. On one occasion, just after Frankenstein had described the death of his wife, the monster appeared on the ship. He went to the cabin, and there he attacked Captain Walton. Frankenstein advised the captain to carry firearms in future and to let his crew do the same. The next day, Captain Walton again visited Frankenstein's cabin.
Great Captain, what news?
The ship is carefully guarded, Baron Frankenstein. We have seen no sign of the monster. He swore that he would return here to kill me.
He cannot board this vessel now without being seen. I have placed men on guard all over the vessel.
Oh, that monster is almost a devil. You do not know what he can do.
I must apologize to you because of the abject fear which I showed yesterday.
You need not apologize, Captain. All men show fear when they see the monster. I am his creator, and I am afraid.
Did you say that the monster is impervious to bullets?
I did not say that. He has certainly been wounded twice, but he has recovered. He is so strong.
Well, if we have another visit from him, it shall be his last. I swear that we shall kill him.
I hope so.
Do you feel you are able to tell me what happened after the death of your beloved wife?
Well, the bodyguard Fabian and myself found my wife's body at the foot of the stairs. I picked the body up tenderly and bore it to another room while Fabian went for assistance. I looked at the still form of my wife. Then I knelt down and prayed. I pray that I be granted life so that I may destroy the monster which I created. Has not my punishment been enough? Have not others suffered because of my sin? When will my suffering cease? Oh, Elizabeth, my beloved wife, I will live to avenge you and to avenge those who have died because of my evil work.
I kept my promise, Frankenstein.
What? You here?
You cannot move. The creature is stronger than the creator. I hold you fast.
Oh, so great is my hatred that it gives me strength. I shall free myself. I shall kill you.
Hear me, little man. I despise you.
Let me go. Let me go. Let me go.
Hear me. Did you not condemn me to a life without a mate, without a companion? Did you not create me and make me an object of hatred and contempt? Now all men are against you. They know that you created me. They know that you have brought misery to others. Therefore, you will become an object of hatred and contempt. You are now without a wife. I killed her. That is her still body lying on the bed. Suffer now as I have suffered, Frankenstein.
Oh, if only I had the strength to kill you.
You have not the strength. In your foolishness, you have made your creature stronger than yourself. My work is done now. I am leaving here. I cannot make you suffer more. I know that every man's hand will be against you, and you will be an outcast just as I am.
Where are you going?
Who knows? I shall wander the world. Mayhap I will find someone as hideous as myself. Someone who will be a companion to me.
Wherever you go, I shall follow you. If it be to the ends of the earth, I will not be content to rest until I have destroyed you.
Have a care that I do not destroy you. I could do it now. Feel you, my fingers about your throat.
All right. Why do you not kill me? It would be a merciful release. But I should not die happily, knowing that you still live.
You shall live on. You shall suffer as I have suffered. Mayhap we shall meet again.
We shall meet again, I swear it. But tell me, have you the powers of evil? How is it that you were able to find us? How is it that you were able to get into the house?
I laughed as I watched you searching for me. You did not think that I could find shelter on the roof, that I could lower myself into the window of this room. Your wife slept. But she heard me as I came through the window. She started up and seized her pistol. She fired, but her aim was wild. She did not struggle much, Frankenstein. Then I took her body and hurled it down the stairs.
You have been on the roof all the time?
I have.
Oh, Frankenstein, I have dealt with it, but...
Why? The monster! Shoot him!
You shall not hear me!
Oh, he's not my homicide! Make him let me go now! He's choking me!
Oh, let the man go! Do not kill him!
He shall die! All my enemies shall die! Do not approach! throat, Frankenstein. With one hand I can slay this man. With the other I hold you at bay.
Oh, do not kill that man.
He shall die. It gives me pleasure to make men die. One man gave me life, but I have given death to many.
Help! Help!
The man struggles to grow weaker, Frankenstein. You cannot aid him now. I hurl him aside. And thus another of my enemies has died. I hurl you aside. And I say farewell. Seek not to find me. My work here is done.
Oh, come back. I must have further speech with you. I must find some way to make peace with you.
You will have peace if you do not try to follow me.
What happened, Baron Frankenstein? Did the monster make his escape?
He climbed through the window and with surprising agility scrambled onto the roof. I could not go after him, but I called for help. When I turned, I saw the body of my wife lying on the bed and the body of the man, Fabian, lying on the floor. Oh, words cannot express my utter horror and remorse. I think I wept and hurled myself on the floor in a frenzy of agony. Presently, the door opened and the burgomaster entered. As soon as he saw me...
Baron Frankenstein, what has happened?
Oh, if you have a pistol, dare shoot me. Put an end to my life. I cannot live on.
What has happened to Fabian?
He is dead. Murdered by the monster. My wife is also dead.
Murdered by the monster, which you say you created.
I did create him. And may God forgive me for that sin. It seems that my suffering is never to end. I am guilty of the murder of these innocent people.
For months we have been striving to find that monster and to destroy him. If you are his creator, as you say, then it is your responsibility to find him and destroy him, Baron Frankenstein.
I know it.
I have communicated with the authorities, and there is talk of ordering your arrest. If you created a devil, you should be punished.
Or have I not been punished enough?
The people of the village murmur against you. They say that you should be hanged for these murders.
Oh, I fear that I am going mad. I know that I turned this murderer loose upon society, that while he lives, there may be other murders. Therefore, I swear a sacred oath that while there is breath in my body, while I live, I should devote my life to tracking him down.
We feel that if you remain here, the monster will remain, that other lives will be in danger.
So all men are against me. I am to suffer as my creature has suffered. I am to know what it is to be a fugitive, an object of hatred and scorn. It seems that his revenge is indeed complete.
I advise you, for your own sake, to leave here today.
I will leave very soon. Spare me a few minutes so that I may pray beside the body of my beloved wife. Then will my journey commence. Where it will take me, I know not. But if it be to the end of the earth, I will find him and destroy him. Oh, would that I destroyed him before I gave him life.
So be it, Baron Frankenstein. I will see that you are not molested before you leave the village.
Oh, await me downstairs. I will join you in a few minutes.
So, Baron Frankenstein, you were forced to leave your native village.
Yes. When I left my home, my first act was to try and find some clue by which I might trace the steps of my fiendish enemy. I wandered to the cemetery, and I prayed a while by the grave of the child William. Then I heard a sound behind me. I looked up, and it was the monster watching me. He did not speak, but fled away, and I pursued him, only to lose him. But he left a trail of death and disaster wherever he went, and for many months the ceaseless pursuit went on. Sometimes I would almost come up with him. Once, when I was traveling by night, the broad disk of the moon arose, and it shone upon a huge, ghastly, distorted shape which fled before me with more than mortal speed. I went to the coast, and by a strange chance, I saw the fiend hide himself in a vessel bound for the Black Sea. I took my passage in the same ship, but he escaped, I know not how. I traveled to the wilds of Tartary and Russia, and once I came upon a peasant's home in the wilds of Tartary. I saw the peasant standing outside his cottage. He was wringing his hands in terror, and he said, I have seen the devil himself, a strange, horrid fiend.
Tell me, my friend, what have you seen?
The devil himself, I tell you, sir, a huge, shambling creature with a countenance more hideous than I have ever seen. He forced his way into my cottage, took all my food, ate it himself, and placed his cold, clammy hands upon my throat. I screamed in mortal agony. Then he withdrew his hands and laughed, the most ghastly laugh that I have ever heard.
Tell me, where did this creature go?
I know not. He went out of my cottage, and I was afraid to follow him.
Here, take the silver to compensate you for anything which the monster stole from you. I must be close to him. I feel my search will soon end.
Oh, that laugh again. He will kill us. Do not let him kill me.
My quarry is near me. Stand aside, man. This time he shall die.
What happened, Baron Frankenstein? Did you shoot the monster?
Ask me no more now. I am tired. Later on, I will tell you what happened on that fateful day.
My daddy was a mighty fine man. He taught me a thing or two. A woman can hurt, so you stay on your guard and beechnuts the tobacco you chew. Them times we'd go fishing, my daddy and me, he'd tell me everything he ever knew.
You'd go after big mouth in close to the bank and beechnuts the tobacco you chew. Around here, beechnut's the word for chewing tobacco. And it's been that way, father and son, for a long, long time. What's the secret? It's the way beechnut just keeps getting better. Like beechnut's a lot moister these days, with more taste and less stems. Big improvements. You ought to try today's beechnut chewing tobacco.
And now I'm a daddy with a son who's full grown, and I tell him a thing or two.
Scared money don't win, evil women drink gin, and beechnuts the tobacco you chew.
You're smoking it out in the middle of the ring! And there's a hard drive to the top! And Blue Farmer's block is knocked off!
His block is knocked off?
Sure, but you can press it right back on again. It's just part of the action with the world's only boxing robots, the Rock'em Sock'em Robots by Marks. Takes two managers to handle the fighters and lots of skill to win. With these control levers, you can keep your fighters in motion to duck punches. When you press this plunger, he throws a right uppercut. Press the other plunger and there's a left jab. Lots of exciting action and fun for everyone when the world's only boxing robots battle it out.
The Blue Bomber's looking for an opening. And there it is. That's the end of round two.
Just push the flying head back and you're ready for round three.
Boy, this is the greatest.
You bet. The world's only boxing robots. Get the Rock'em Sock'em Robots by Mark.
It's just a farmhouse and looks pretty innocent from the road. But once you're inside, you'll see what really happens on a terror farm. Invasion of the Blood Farmers. Coming in the dead of night, coming to plant the living and harvest the dead. Are you strong enough? More raw terror, more stomach-turning shock than you can take. Therefore, we warn you, don't eat before you see Invasion of the Blood Farmers, and you'll have nothing to lose. They plant the living and harvest the dead. Invasion of the Blood Farmers, released by NMD Films, in color, rated PG, parental guidance suggested.
Present George Edwards in Frankenstein. Baron Frankenstein described his amazing adventures to Captain Walton of the ship Voyager. The Voyager had been icebound for many months, but the thaw was setting in, and the vessel was commencing to drift southwards. Captain Walton brought this good news to the Baron.
Frankenstein, our journey homeward is commencing. The ice is breaking up. There are several patches of water around the vessel. Very soon, we will be underway.
I must leave the vessel at once. I know the monster is still alive.
I cannot let you leave, Baron Frankenstein. You know that.
You have no power to keep me here.
Well, we are not making very much progress as yet, and I would sincerely like to hear the remainder of your story. I am writing it all in my journal.
Well, I was telling you that in the wilds of Tartary, I encountered a peasant who was terrified because he had seen the monster.
And when you were seeking to comfort the peasant, you heard the monster's laugh.
Yes. I threw my pistol and moved towards the door. To my surprise, the door opened and the monster appeared. My surprise was so great that I hesitated for a moment, and that hesitation was fatal. With incredible swiftness, the monster advanced and wrenched the pistol from my hand, and then he said,
"It is time that you and I spoke again, Frankenstein. You seem to have the powers of evil. Always you flee before me. Am I never to kill you? Shall I kill this peasant, or will I bid him begone? I do not wish him to hear what we have to say.
Go, fellow. Do not return here for some hours."
"Because you are my creator, so should you be my friend. We are both outcasts now. Can we not also be friends? I have thoughts just as other men. If I had a friend to whom I could speak, and who could read to me and teach me many of the ways of the world, perhaps I would find some strange happiness. You cannot return to your world, Frankenstein, but you could find loyal, faithful, and honest friendship with me.
You have murdered my wife, my friends, and made me an outcast in this world, and yet you dare to ask for friendship.
Is your life happy now? I have never known a moment's happiness since I created you. And I have never known a moment's happiness since I was created. Do you not owe it to me to give me some peace and happiness, to give me friendship, to give me your ideas? I owe you nothing but hatred. Was it my fault that men shrink from me and strive to kill me? Is it my fault that I defended myself by killing them and thus earning further hatred? Did you not refuse to make for me a companion?
I could not bring myself to do it.
And because of that, my rage knew no bounds and I slew all whom you held dear. Now it is over. We are both outcasts. Objects of hatred, scorn, and loathing. Let there be friendship between us, Frankenstein.
I have sworn that I will never rest until I destroy that which I created. Mayhap I am to blame for many of the sufferings which you have endured, but the sin was mine. I created you. Now it is my solemn and holy duty to destroy you.
And it is in my power to destroy my creator.
You may destroy me.
I will. But not until you have experienced further suffering. You must pursue me. You must live the same lonely life as I live. And perhaps I will receive a strange pleasure knowing that I have made my creator suffer.
And perhaps I am receiving a strange pleasure, knowing that you are paying for your sins, knowing that all men are still against you, and will always be against you. But I admit the crime was mine in giving life to you, and my only purpose in living now is to end that life.
Mayhap you will never end it. Farewell once again, my master. I offered you my friendship. I offer to live at peace with you, and you refused. Why should a man hate that which he has created? That is one of the things I will never understand. Farewell, Frankenstein. Until the next time. Did you pursue the monster that day, Baron Frankenstein?
Well, he made his escape with incredible swiftness, and I set off after him. The search went on for many months, and the monster seemed to take pleasure in leading me on. Sometimes, indeed, he left marks in writing on the barks of trees or cut in stone that guided me and instigated my fury. I pursued my journey to the northward. The snow thickened, and the cold increased in a degree almost too severe to support. On and on we tramped, and occasionally I was rewarded by a glimpse of my deadly enemy. I realized that I was being led towards the frozen wastes of the north, and I procured sledge and dogs, traveling across the icy wastes and occasionally finding clues of the inhuman devil which I had created. Then I lost him, and for a while I despaired of my own life. My dogs died. I wandered through the snow and the blizzard, gradually finding my way to this ship, where you gave me your kindness and hospitality, Captain Walton.
A strange and dreadfully tragic story, Baron Frankenstein.
This story is not over yet. You know now why I cannot return to England with you. There is no place for me in the haunts of men. I must kill the monster, and then I will be content to die.
Who is there?
Mr. Boyce, sir. The mist is beginning to drift. The ice is breaking more rapidly now, Captain. I think you'd better come up on deck.
Very well, I shall come up now.
I must leave the vessel. Make arrangements for me to be put ashore, Captain.
You cannot leave the vessel, Baron Frankenstein. That would be madness.
I must. You realize that I cannot let that monster roam about killing people at will?
You must excuse me for a moment. You will be safe here in your cabin. You are not yet strong enough to leave your bunk. I will return and discuss the matter with you later. Come, Mr. Boyd.
Well, have you any orders to give, Captain?
We cannot carry any more sail at present. The vessel is moving slowly but steadily. Better be kept upon this course, Mr. Boyd.
Aye, aye, sir.
Have any of the men seen signs of the monster?
We have seen nothing for the past few days.
I am glad. We are gradually gathering speed and making our way through the ice. By tomorrow, we should be well on the journey homewards. Then I do not think we will have any more to fear from the monster.
But what of Baron Frankenstein? Are we taking him with us?
Of course. You do not think we could leave him here?
The men are afraid of him, sir. They say that he is responsible for bringing that evil monster aboard. They say all their lives are in danger. I beg of you, put Baron Frankenstein ashore. He will be an evil influence during the voyage.
I am the commander of this vessel, Mr. Boyd. Baron Frankenstein is my friend.
The men have been inactive all the while the ship has been icebound. They are ready for any mischief, and they've been grumbling lately.
Well, we have started our homeward journey now.
They fear that Baron Frankenstein, and they fear this monster. They say that the Baron must be put ashore.
And I refuse. You do not know Baron Frankenstein's story as I know it. That man has suffered. Admittedly, it was through his own sin. But he could not have realized what misery he was to bring into the world and into his own life. He has suffered enough, and I say that he is to stay aboard this ship until we reach England. If anyone attempts to harm him, they will answer to me.
But what if that monster comes aboard? What if it means loss of life?
All the officers are armed. If the monster comes aboard, we will shoot.
It would be easy for the monster to come aboard. There is ice all around the ship.
There is water on one side of the ship. We can watch the icebound side.
And what if the crew mutiny?
If the crew mutiny, they will be dealt with. Gather them here, and I will address them.
All hands on deck!
Let the officers stand with me, Mr. Boyd. So far, this voyage has been a success, and will not be marred by any signs of mutiny on the part of the crew.
I was only trying to do my duty in telling you what the men felt, sir.
I am aware of that, and I am here to deal with the men. I assume I have the loyalty of the officers.
We will obey you, sir, but we are afraid of this monster. If you will remember, the beast once attacked me.
I do remember that.
All hands on deck now, sir.
Men, it has been reported to me that some of you are showing signs of discontent. For the greater part of this voyage, you have all given me your loyalty, and you have assisted me to make the journey a success. I ask you now not to mar that voyage by any murmurs of mutiny. I am told that some of you are afraid of my friend and guest, Baron Frankenstein.
There is no need for you to fear him. He is a gentleman who has suffered. I know his story, and I feel deeply for him. As regards the strange monster which has sometimes come aboard this vessel, I can assure you that all the officers are armed, and if he comes aboard, they will shoot. Attempt to mutiny and disobey my orders, then you will meet with the punishment that is given to mutineers. Now trust in me, men. I will take you back home safely. And remember, if any harm comes to my guest, Baron Frankenstein, the man who harms him shall die. That is all. You may go. Baron Frankenstein, how did you get up here?
I forced myself to leave my bed. I heard what you said, Captain. But your men need have no fear. I will go ashore now.
It's just a farmhouse and looks pretty innocent from the road. But once you're inside, you'll see what really happens on a terror farm. Invasion of the Blood Farmers. Coming in the dead of night, coming to plant the living and harvest the dead. Are you strong enough? More raw terror, more stomach-turning shock than you can take. Therefore, we warn you, don't eat before you see Invasion of the Blood Farmers, and you'll have nothing to lose. They plant the living and harvest the dead. Invasion of the Blood Farmers, released by NMD Films, in color, rated PG, parental guidance suggested.
Walton addressed his crew and informed them that the Baron was his guest. Then, to the surprise of everyone, Baron Frankenstein tottered up onto deck. He was weak and ill, and he supported himself with difficulty. He informed Captain Walton that he intended to leave the ship immediately.
Frankenstein, I cannot allow you to go ashore.
This is no affair of yours, Captain Walton. You dare not keep me here against my will. Besides which, your crew do not desire to have me aboard the vessel.
The crew will obey my orders. I have a duty to do. I cannot send the man to certain death.
Captain Walton, I appreciate your feelings, and I thank you for your friendship and for all that you have done for me. Do you not realize that life for me is over? I created a monster. And that monster has gradually destroyed me, torn down the structure which surrounded me, killed my friends, my loved ones, made me an outcast. I live only for one thing, to witness the death of the monster. If you take me back to civilization against my will, you will be condemning me to torture, knowing that all men hate and despise me because of the crime which I committed. I am already destroyed. Although there is life in my body, that life cannot be extinguished. It must not be extinguished until my creation has been destroyed. Now I beg of you, let me go. We shall not meet again.
Very well, Baron Frankenstein. The choice is yours. You may leave this ship. There is still ice for you to walk across. I will have a rope ladder lowered as well. But I shall always feel it on my conscience that I deserted, left you here to perish in the white waste of the Lord.
For me, death will be a merciful release. So go, Captain. And when you return to England, you may publish the notes in your journal so that all may know that it is folly, that it is a grave sin to usurp the rights of God. I have suffered as men have seldom suffered. And when the monster dies, then shall I make atonement. To the members of your crew, I also say,
Farewell. I am glad that none of them had suffered because of my misdeed. Now I must...
He's collapsed.
I knew he had not the strength. I knew he should not have come on deck.
What do we do, Captain Watson?
We cannot put him ashore in his present state. And if we cannot remain here, the vessel must go on. I hardly know what to do.
I think Baron Frankenstein is trying to speak.
I am to be cheated of my vengeance. I know it. I feel for the first time the icy clutch of death. Come close to me, Captain Walton, and hear what I say.
What is it, Baron Frankenstein?
Should you see the monster again, bid your men to fire and shoot to kill.
I promise you I will do that. But we may never see the monster again.
I must not die, leaving him alive, leaving him to wander the earth. It is not fair, for this is indeed my greatest punishment.
But you may not die. Let me give orders that you are carried down to the cabin. There we will seek to revive you.
Oh, it is too late for that. Even now, all grows dim. Oh, God, forgive me for the great sin which was mine. Let no others be punished because of my folly and my pride. I have suffered because of my ambition, and I have paid the penalty. I go now to join my beloved Elizabeth, my friends, and I beg thy forgiveness. O Lord, that which I created has destroyed me. Now I go to my Creator, hoping for his abundant mercy.
Is there anything we can do for you, Baron Frankenstein?
Nothing, Captain Walton. Save to keep a close watch for the monster. I commend my soul to God, and I beg that you consign my body to the dark, black waters. That is the only favor I ask. I am coming, Elizabeth. All these long and weary months have passed, and soon we shall meet again. Oh, Elizabeth, my loved one, I long to be with you. Elizabeth.
Uncover your head, Smith. Baron Frankenstein passed away. May God receive his soul.
Will you carry on?
His body shall be consigned to the sea, yet my journal shall tell of the horrors and the suffering which he underwent.
Look, there, coming across the ice.
The monster. Be ready with your pistol, Ben.
He approaches the ship. See how he leaps across the ice. I am afraid.
Show no fear. We are ready to deal with him.
He is leading the rope ladder. Shall we fire?
Wait. Do not fire until I give the order.
He is coming aboard.
Wait until I give the word to fire.
My master, my creator, what ails him? Let me speak with him.
Foul monster, Baron Frankenstein is dead, destroyed by your hatred and vice. Now you shall die. Fire, men!
You would destroy me. The blood pours from my wound. But I still have life. Let me look on the body of Frankenstein.
Shall we fire again, Captain?
No, wait.
Frankenstein, you are dead. Victim of my hatred. Victim of your own selfishness. Oh, Frankenstein, I am filled with remorse. And yet soon I am to die. They have dealt me mortal wounds. Frankenstein, my creator, I born for you.
You say you born for him, and yet you drove him to his death. Your diabolical vengeance destroyed your creator.
Think you that I do not deserve your sympathy? I swear that after the murder of Clerval, I was heartbroken and overcome. I pitied Frankenstein and hated myself, but I discovered that he still sought for happiness, while I, his creature, could live on in misery and loneliness.
Men have forced me to murder. Loneliness has made me bitter. And now he who gave me life is dead. I swear I was not born to hate, but men turn from me, and my creator would not aid me.
He offered you death.
Does any man seek death while he may yet find happiness in life?
Frankenstein welcomed death. He sought only to live so that he might destroy you.
There lies my creator, white and cold and dead. You hate me. All men hate me. But your hatred cannot equal that which I regard myself. I once sought the friendship of Frankenstein. Should there not be friendship between the creator and his creature? But because he is dead, so shall I die. Bid your men not to fire on me again. You can see that I am mortally wounded. Tell me, what was Frankenstein's last wish?
His last wish was that his remains should be consigned to the sea.
His last wish shall be carried out, and I shall carry it out. Look you over the side of the vessel. See you not that deep black pool of water? That shall be the grave of Frankenstein and his creature. With my last remaining strength, I raise his body in my arms. A creator and creature will lie in cold death together beneath the dark, unfriendly ocean.
It may be the body, Captain. Are we took him?
No, he is still to die. Let us watch. I am about to leave this world. And you are the last of human kind who will ever behold me.
Even now you shrink from me with horror and loathing. And he whom I hold in my arms gave me this hideous form, condemned me to a life of loneliness. Yet he was my creator, and instead of loving his creature, he hated him, sought to destroy him. So I sought vengeance on all men. I turned against him who had given me life.
Let every man learn of the story. Tell them the truth.
Tell them that the hideous, diabolical monster from which whom all men turn had feelings just as other creatures. And by those feelings, so was he forced to wickedness and crime. Frankenstein, my master, that which you created is now to be destroyed. With faltering strength, I carry you to your last cold, unfriendly, resting place.
Did that kill him, Captain Walton?
No. He goes to his death of his own free will. And now, in some strange way, I feel sorry for this monster. He has excited my pity.
I will not live. But Frankenstein goes with me where I go. I led him across the world, the creator following his creature. Still I am suffering. Still I know remorse because Frankenstein is dead. But I know the suffering which I feel now will soon be ended. Watch. And rest assured that I die. Come, Frankenstein, I hold your cold body fast. As I destroy you, thus will I destroy myself. Nevermore will man learn the secret of how to create man. Farewell, all mankind. Frankenstein and his creature now vanish forever from mortal ken. I have barely the strength to climb over the rail, bearing my burden, but I must die. We go now, Frankenstein, to know only peace and blissful freedom from suffering. Look on us, Captain. Let your men look on us. No other shall ever behold us. I go now with my creator.
Good evening, dear listeners. I am Barnabas Collins. I hope you will forgive the intrusion, and I hope that you have been enjoying Broken Sea Audio Productions' OTR Swagcast. Please allow me to introduce the next haunting episode of Dark Shadows.
The evil that has plagued our days and nights has been done away with. But there is a little boy who believes the evil is still in our midst. He alone among us continues to live in constant fear.
You have your lessons to do as soon as Vicky gets back.
Please, can I just go see Sarah and talk to her?
What about
it? I can't tell you.
David, is something the matter?
No.
Well, I'm afraid you can't go out right now. Vicky's due back any minute. Perhaps you can see Sarah after your lesson. David, if something is troubling you, I wish you'd tell me what it is.
I hope that you're not upset because I stayed so long at Maggie's.
No, no, of course not. How is Maggie?
Oh, she's like a new person.
I can imagine. She's had to live a quite a nightmare.
They got a report from the hospital while I was there.
About Willie?
Yes. He's still in a coma. They don't expect him to live through the day. Mrs. Stoddard, I can't believe that Willie was really capable of the things he's been accused of.
Vicky, you can't be serious.
I know that he wasn't perfect. And his behavior was sometimes a little strange.
A little strange? That's putting it mildly.
But I just can't believe that he was capable of kidnapping someone.
I can. Anyone who can call themselves a friend of Jason McGuire's is capable of anything, my way of thinking.
Well, his friendship with Jason ended when he went to work for Barnabas.
Yes. And I'll admit that Barnabas did change his personality for the better. But underneath, I'm sure he's still the same man he's always been.
I don't know. I think there's more to this than any of us knows.
I know you feel sorry for Willie, but try to be objective about it. The fact is that he tried to break into Maggie's room at 3 o'clock this morning.
You're right. I guess I just didn't want to admit that I could be so wrong about someone.
Well, let's get off the subject of Willie. I want to talk to you about David.
David, is there something wrong?
No, nothing serious. I just...
What is it?
I was going to ask you.
What?
Well, it's nothing serious, but he was going out the door, I stopped him.
Where was he going?
He said he wanted to see his friend Sarah. It was his behavior that bothered me.
What do you mean?
Well, he just stood there in the doorway with his back to me, and I had a feeling he was terribly frightened of something.
He's been acting so strangely ever since that night that he was brought home. He was frightened of something then, too.
So did you talk to him about it?
He couldn't tell me anything because he didn't know anything.
Well, Vicky, I think we should make every effort to find out what it is, don't you?
Oh, yes, but lately it's been very hard to get anything out of him.
Do you suppose that something frightened him when he was lost in the woods?
Well, I should think that the entire experience of being lost in the woods would be frightening. But he's safe now. There's no reason for him to go on being frightened.
Well, until we are sure of what has bothered him, I think you better keep a very close watch on him. And as a matter of fact, I think it would be best if he didn't go out alone.
I think so, too.
Nothing must happen to David.
Don't you worry about him. I'll take very good care of him. David, time's up. Where's your composition? I didn't do it.
Why not?
I couldn't think of anything to say.
But you told me you had it all planned out.
I guess I forgot what I wanted to say.
David, what's the matter?
Nothing.
Something is, and I wish you'd tell me what it is.
Well, it's just that I'm not really in the mood for doing a stupid composition.
Why not?
I don't know.
Well, what are you in the mood for?
Nothing.
David, look at me. I know you're frightened of something. And the only thing that'll help you is if you'll tell me what it is.
Who said I was frightened about something?
I'm never frightened of anything.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. I didn't know anyone was in here.
Oh, that's quite all right, Julia. Today's lesson just ended.
Oh, then the study will be free. I'm expecting a visitor.
It's all yours. David, maybe a walk outside will put you in the mood for writing that composition.
Well, I thought you said I wasn't allowed to walk outside alone.
I didn't mean alone. Would you like to come for a walk with me?
Where are you going?
Down to the old house to see Barnabas.
Old house?
Yes, I imagine the news about Willie must have come as quite a blow to him. He did so much to try and help him. I thought maybe a friendly visit might cheer him.
Sure it might, but...
Well, David, will you come with me?
I'd rather stay here.
But I thought you wanted to go outside.
Not if I have to go to the old house.
Now, what's that supposed to mean?
Well, it's just that I don't want to go there. And I don't think you should go there either.
What are you talking about? Why shouldn't I?
Because it isn't safe.
Well, now that's a switch, David. You used to love to go there, and we were the ones that told you it wasn't safe. But that was before Barnabas fixed it over.
Well, it still isn't safe.
Why?
Well, I don't know why. I just know it isn't.
David, I think you've been very childish.
I'm not being childish. I don't want to go to the old house. And I don't want to see Cousin Barnabas. And you can't make me.
I'm not going to make you do anything you don't want to do. You don't have to. I'd just rather sit in my room all day than go to the old house. All right, David, you've made your point. Now you go to your room and wait for me there. He certainly hasn't been the easiest person to live with the past few days.
Yes, I can see that.
Well, it looks like I'm going to go and see Barnabas alone.
Oh, Vicky, I think going to the old house now would be a waste of time. I just remembered that Barnabas said he'd be away for the day.
Oh, not too bad. When will he be back?
Tonight.
You know, I have a notion about Barnabas. I think he secretly sleeps during the day because he's so much in love with the night.
You may be right. He's certainly the most dedicated night person I've ever known.
You understand why I couldn't see you when you came to the hospital this morning.
Oh, of course. It must have been a long night.
Oh, I only got about an hour's sleep.
Tell me, what's the prognosis on Willie?
Well, I got the last bullet out of his back about 6:30 this morning. And that relieved the spinal pressure, of course, but his condition is substantially the same. I don't know what's going to happen. I wish I could foretell it.
Listen, Dave, medical history aside, what's your opinion? Do you think he'll live?
I give him about 1 chance in 100.
But what will happen if he does pull through?
What do you mean?
Funny, will he be able to talk?
Well, we hope he will.
But isn't there a chance of partial or total paralysis?
Well, there's always a chance of that, Julia, when there's a spinal injury.
I'm only asking because I hope he does survive and makes the complete confession. Then you'll realize that my long investigation here was justified.
You mean Willie was the one you suspected?
All along.
Well, what evidence did you have?
Oh, a little long and complicated to go into now. You can read it all in the report I'm preparing.
Well, now, wait a minute, Julia. Nobody had the vaguest idea who the kidnapper was. What in the world made you suspect Willie?
Oh, I've had several long and revealing encounters with him when I first arrived here, and I soon recognized disturbing signs of a personality disorder.
A psychopath?
Yes. Yes, after that, I concentrated all my investigation on him.
Well, why didn't you tell me all of this? Why all the secrecy?
Well, I wanted to pursue the case with Bicel Fish.
Well, don't you think that was a little bit dangerous? I mean, if the man was a psychopath, a potential killer?
Oh, I knew what I was doing.
Julia, if what you're telling me now is the truth, then what was the reason for all that talk you've been giving me lately about the supernatural?
Oh, I'm afraid I'll have to apologize to you for that, Dave.
Why?
Well, it was a story I just made up to satisfy your curiosity about what I was doing.
Well, I must say you made a very good job of it. You started me believing that. Interim, I've really begun to think that it's the truth.
That there really is a supernatural? Don't be absurd.
Well, how else do you account for this little girl, Sarah, appearing and disappearing for various people?
Well, I don't account for it all. She has no bearing on the case.
Oh, no. She knew what was happening to Maggie before it happened. Now, how could she have gotten to know things like that? What about that other strange thing about Sarah? Nobody knows where she lives. Nobody knows where she comes from. Oh, sure, sure. David knows how to contact her, but he won't tell any of us.
I don't understand why you're so interested in this little Sarah.
Well, now, come on.
The case is solved. The kidnapper has been identified. What more do you want?
maybe you're right.
I know I'm right.
I suppose you'll be going back to Wyndcliff soon.
Well, I thought I might stay here 3 or 4 days at least.
Well, if the case is closed, there's no real need for you to stay, is there?
Oh, but Dave, I'm here as an historian doing research on the Collins family. I just can't pack up and go.
Listen, as long as the kidnapper's been caught, I don't think it would hurt if you told Mrs. Stoddard who you really are.
Well, I'd rather not do that. In a little while, I'll announce that my work is almost finished, and then I'll leave quietly.
You sure you don't have some other reason for staying around here, Judy?
I'm positive.
I think you do. I think I know what the reason is.
I haven't the slightest idea what you're talking about.
Come on now, Julia. People around here aren't blind. Neither am I. You've shown an extraordinary interest in one particular person ever since you got here. Barnabas Collins.
Well, of course I'm interested in him. He's a fascinating and charming man.
And that's all there is to it? Just a casual interest?
Really, Dave?
Don't get upset. I'm not trying to pry, Julia. As a matter of fact, I almost hope that Barnabas is the reason you're going to stay on a little longer. Now, look, romantic interest never hurt anybody.
I didn't say that he was the reason that I was staying.
You didn't have to, Julia. You didn't have to.
Thinking about David?
You must be a mind reader.
No, I was thinking about him, too. I was rather disturbed by his behavior in the study before.
So was I.
Why do you suppose he's so frightened about the old house?
I don't know. It's never bothered him before.
Do you think it could have anything at all to do with Barnabas?
I don't see why he'd be frightened of Barnabas. On the contrary, he should be grateful to him. It was Barnabas who found him and brought him home.
Has he said anything about Barnabas since he's come home?
No, he doesn't talk about much of anything. He just sits in his room. And I know that he's frightened of something, but he just won't tell me what it is.
Do you think it would help if I had a little talk with him?
Well, that's what Mrs. Stoddard is doing right now. Why don't we wait and see what kind of progress she makes?
Vicky told me you weren't able to do your lesson.
I could have done it, but I just didn't feel it.
Why?
I don't know.
David, it's obvious that you're very upset about something. It isn't going to get any better by keeping it inside. Whatever it is, you have to talk to someone about it.
There's nothing to talk about.
You were very frightened when you were lost in the woods, weren't you?
Well, yes, kind of.
Were you afraid that you might be attacked by someone? Like the man who kidnapped Maggie Evans?
Well, I thought about it.
Well, maybe subconsciously you're still thinking about it.
Maybe.
But there's no danger of being attacked anymore. The man was caught last night. The police shot him. David, what's the matter?
It wasn't really.
What?
Willie didn't kidnap Maggie, and he didn't attack anyone either.
David, he was caught trying to break into Maggie's room.
I don't care. They shot the wrong man.
Why are you saying that?
I just don't think Willie could hurt anybody. I don't believe it.
I see why you're getting so upset about it.
Sarah. I've got to find Sarah.
What?
She'll know whether it was Willie or not, and she'll tell me. I've got to find her right now. Maybe
were going about this whole thing in the wrong way.
Well, what do you mean?
Maybe what's bothering David is something quite trivial. I would have overlooked
it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
David, come back here. You can't go out.
I've got to go find Sarah. I've got to ask her something.
David, what is it? What's the matter? The eyes. The eyes. No! No! Leave me alone!
Oh, tell me, what's wrong?
The eyes in the painting. They were alive. I could feel them. They were blaring, blazing down at me right this minute.
Of the moon and all the stars in the sky over Collingwood cannot prevent the shadow of terror from visiting one of us tonight. Young David Collins has learned part of the secret behind the evil of Collingwood, and now he lives in a state of constant fear.
Hello, David. I've been looking everywhere for you. But now I've found you, haven't I? What were you doing in the mausoleum, David? Is there something in there that fascinates you? I think you're keeping something from me. Do you know what happens to little boys who lie to their elders? Come, David. You'll go to my house, and you can tell me about your little friend, Sarah. Didn't she have a little secret she wanted to share with you? A secret in the mausoleum? Very well, we'll go to my house and see if your memory doesn't become a little clearer there.
I was lying. He could see I knew about the secret room in the mausoleum. Sarah said no one else knew about it except for us. But Barnabas knows. He was there. How did he find out? And why doesn't he want anyone else to know about it? What's the secret about that room? Oh, Sarah, you've got to come to me. I've got so many questions to ask you.
And I'm scared, Sarah. I'm scared. Sarah! Sarah, where are you? I need you, Sarah. Where are you when I need you? David? Who are you talking to? No one. But I heard you shouting. I was just playing a game.
Are you all right?
Yes. You look a little pale. I feel fine. Honest.
Maybe you should go to bed now.
No, I'd like to stay up a little later and work on my stamp.
All right, but you promised me that you won't get to bed later than 9:30. You understand?
All right, 9:30.
I'll be down in the drawing room if you need me.
I'm on my way down to the old house. I must talk to Barnabas right away. Something's got to be done about that. David, his behavior's getting worse, not better.
What's he done now?
I found him standing in front of the portrait again. He seemed absolutely terrified. And he was talking to him.
Well, what makes you think Barnabas will be able to help?
Well, he seems to be the object of David's fear. I don't know why, but I thought Barnabas might.
Well, I think he'll be just as puzzled as you and I are.
You're probably right. Something has to be done with that child. He can't go on like this. He needs help.
Do you think Dr. Woodard should examine him?
Well, physically, he's just as healthy as he's ever been.
Well, if he's not willing to talk to either of us, I don't see how we can possibly help him.
There must be somebody he's willing to talk to.
Well, there's Burke. He's always found it easier to talk to him than to us.
Could you get Burke up here tonight?
He's gone out of town until tomorrow, but I can get him up here then.
Good. Oh, Vicky.
Yes, what is it?
Have you and Burke set a date for your marriage yet?
Well, we're waiting until Burke gets word on the house he wants to buy.
Our lawyer should reach a decision very soon.
Good. I guess we should be setting the date very soon.
Vicky, I'd like to ask you something.
Yes, what is it?
If David goes on the way he is, he might find it very difficult to adjust to a new governess.
I understand. If David needs me, I'm perfectly willing to move the date back a little.
Thank you. I'm very grateful.
Good evening, Elizabeth.
Barnabas, what a coincidence. I was just on my way down to the old house to see you.
Well, how interesting. I think we each want to talk about the same thing. Shall we go into the drawing room?
Mrs. Stoddard, I'll be up in my room.
Oh, no, please, Vicky. I'd like you to join us. There's no secrecy involved here. And besides, at times as depressing as this, one can be grateful for the company of two beautiful women. Servant Willie.
There's no need for you to apologize for what Willie did.
Oh, yes, there is. After all, I took him in and tried to make him respectable.
And you nearly succeeded.
No, I'm afraid I failed miserably. What disturbs me most is that I gave him refuge in the Collins family name. I'll never forgive myself if what he's done should result in a scandal for the family.
Has there been any further word about Willie?
The last I heard, he was still in a coma.
If the newspapers decide to sensationalize...
I don't care about that, Barnabas, and I don't think you should either.
Well, I can't help it. I think it's the greatest single shock of my life.
You mustn't be so harsh on yourself. You had no way of knowing what was in Willie's mind.
Well, that's very kind of you.
Actually, I want to talk to you about an entirely different matter.
Oh?
Yes, about David. I'm extremely worried about him.
Why? What's happened to him?
Well, let's say something is happening to him, and none of us know what it is.
I don't understand.
Well, the other night when you found him outside the mausoleum, did something happen? Something that he hadn't told us about?
Why, no. Of course not. I found him and brought him home,
That's all there was to it. Oh, he was a little frightened, of course.
His being frightened then is understandable. But he's more afraid than ever now.
Is he?
Yes. He's terrified day and night. And he refuses to tell any of us why.
He won't even admit that he is frightened.
Well, have you any idea of what the cause of this fear in him is?
Barnabas, I don't know how to tell you this, and I fail to see the reason why, but he seems to be afraid of you.
Of me? Why?
I have no idea.
Who do you think I do?
I thought you might.
Surely, Elizabeth, you don't think I had anything to do with it?
No, no, of course not. I mean, that is nothing intentional.
I just don't know what you mean.
Well, when you found him outside the mausoleum, did you say or do something that he might have misunderstood?
Well, that's possible, of course. But I can't imagine what it could have been.
Probably was nothing that happened that night. I'm just guessing at possibilities because I don't know what else to do.
You're very upset, aren't you?
The only time I've ever seen David this terrified was when his mother tried to take him away from here.
Well, I don't mean to minimize the situation, but it is possible that David's fear could be an imaginary one.
Oh, the reason could be imaginary, but I assure you the fear is quite real.
And it gets worse every day.
Well, is there anything I can do to help?
I don't know what you could do.
Well, since the reason for his fear seems to have something to do with me, perhaps I should talk to him.
Well, Mrs. Stoddard and I both tried to talk to him, but it doesn't seem to help.
Well, I think what is required here is a good man-to-man talk. Do I have your permission, Elizabeth?
I'm in favor of anything that will help. But if he doesn't want it all, I wouldn't force the issue.
Don't worry. I'll be very gentle with you.
David?
Good evening, David.
Cousin Barnabas, what are you doing here?
He wants to talk to you about something.
What about?
I'll let Uncle Cousin Barnabas tell you. Excuse me.
I understand you're disturbed about something, David.
Well, who told you that?
Your Aunt Elizabeth and Miss Winters. They're both very worried about you.
Well, they shouldn't be. I'm fine.
You don't look it, David.
I don't?
No, you look frightened. What are you frightened of?
Nothing.
Oh, yes, you are. And I told your Aunt Elizabeth that I'd find out what it is. Is it me you're frightened of, David?
Why should I be frightened of you?
Well, it isn't polite to answer questions with questions. Now, why are you afraid of me?
I didn't say that I was.
You didn't have to. Now, sit down, David. We haven't had a good chance to talk since that night at the mausoleum. You had a look on your face then that you have now, as if you have a secret.
Well, I haven't got a secret or anything to hide.
You did then, and you do now. And I want you to tell me what it is.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Perhaps we could ease your fear, David, if you would tell me precisely where you were when you were lost.
I already told everyone 100 times.
Yes, and everyone believes you. But you see, I don't, because I know where you were.
Where?
You were in the secret place that little Sarah told you about, weren't you?
No.
Yes, you were. And that secret place is in the Collins Mausoleum, isn't it?
I don't know a secret place.
You know that there's more to the mausoleum than just the big room with the 3 coffins in it, don't you?
No. I swear.
Then how did this knife get in there?
My knife? I don't know.
You're lying again, David. Now, you were in that room. Now, I want you to tell me what other secrets little Sarah told you.
She hasn't told me anything.
Yes, she has. She's told you all about her family, hasn't she?
No.
About her mother and her father and about her brother. She's told you about her brother.
No, she hasn't. I swear she hasn't. I've asked her, but she won't tell me.
You asked her what?
About her family and where she lives.
Are you sure she didn't tell you anything?
Yes.
If you're lying again, David, I will be very angry if I find out what it is.
I'm not lying. Honest. Come in. Are you still talking?
I think we've decided to postpone our talk for a while. It seems that David's a little tired.
I told you you should have gone to bed earlier. Are you all right? Yes. Well, then we'll leave you alone so you can get some sleep. I'll walk you to the door, Barnaby.
Thank you, Vicky.
Good night, David.
Good night, David. Pleasant dreams.
Why would someone put an empty coffin in here?
It hasn't always been empty. There was someone in it once, but he went away.
Sarah, the dead don't just get up and walk away.
Sometimes they do.
There's another room in the mausoleum. It's a secret room, and you were in it.
No, I wasn't. I swear I wasn't.
Now I want to know what other secrets Sarah has told you. What other secrets, David? What other secrets?
Sarah, where are you? I need you. 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 That I don't know a thing about you.
What do you want to know?
Well, who you are and where you came from.
That's easy. I was born in the very same place you were.
In Collinsport?
Yes. I lived on a hill in a big, big house until I was about 9, 10. And then I got very sick and everyone came to see me. And they were very sad.
Because you were sick?
No, because I died.
Sarah, be serious.
I am. I died, and everyone brought me such pretty flowers.
But Sarah, if you died, what could you be doing here now?
I don't know. I think I'm looking for someone. Yes, I'm looking for someone.
Who are you looking for?
Come with me, and I'll show you.
Where are you going?
Take my hand. You'll see. going. You'll see. Is this the place? Sarah, there's a coffin here.
I know.
It's just like in a secret room. But this isn't a secret room.
I know.
Is that coffin empty too?
No, David. That coffin isn't empty. See?
Sarah! Let's get out of here, quickly!
No, this is who I came to find.
You've come back at last.
Sarah, look out! He'll get you, Sarah! Get away from him!
Good evening, and come back again next week. This has been Bill Holwig from West Texas for Broken Sea Audio Productions. www.brokensea.com. Good evening. Good evening. The music for tonight's episode was composed by Brian of Seraphic Panoply and Stevie Farnaby.